fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
And we're off and running. The new two-hour drive time edition of the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. Tonight and every Monday through Friday, you can now dine with us from 6 to 7 besides our 5 to 6 show. I'm Lair Adams, and of course, you've seen the touching public service announcements on TV showing starving children. And for just pennies a day, you can save them. Suddenly, you think, I could spend $100 on booze, drugs, prostitutes, or a Justin Bieber collection, but I can't decide which is worse. So in an act of selflessness, I'll give $100 to feed those kids. Then, find out, only $15 of that $100 went to feed the kids. And that's what liberals are finding out about the Clinton Foundation. They deny it, but only sort of. Hey, lots of travel, parties, etc. Our host gets travel money, but only if he finds a dollar bill on the floor of the bus. Christopher Hart!
That's about the size of it. Thanks so much, Lair Adams, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us. That's right, as we depart on our two-hour drive time primetime show. That's right, folks, we're breaking new ground here today, and glad to have you with us as we do it, as we come to you live on AM 660, The Answer, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, you still get the best in mercury-free dental care at my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy. 407-678-3399 is his number. And don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. All right, yeah, that's right, folks. 2 hours. What are we going to do? Let's see. Yeah, that's right.
I brought some knitting.
Yeah, I got a feeling that after 2 hours, we're going to be going, man, we need some more time. Anyway, we got a big show lined up for you today. It is Monday. Abe Katzman is going to join us. And, of course, he'll still be joining us every Monday and at the same time. We may start shuffling some of the other guests around a little bit more so they don't have to stay through the half-hour break. But with Abe, we try to get him on as quickly as we can because he's calling us live from Jerusalem, where they're 6 hours ahead of us. So it's midnight over there, and we appreciate him.
The guy gets no sleep anyway. He works all the time.
Yeah, that's right. But we have a lot to talk to him about, maybe even something that you haven't heard. They're kind of having their own Baltimore situation over there. Did you know that? That's right.
A little upsetting news.
In Tel Aviv. All right. So we'll be talking about that with Abe Katzman. And, of course, we'll be glad to talk to you as well. Now we have some more time in. We can sort of stretch our wings a little bit and not have to worry about elbowing somebody. 407-774-8255 is the number. I hope you caught last night's show. We had a lot of fun. We had the Stro on, the Maestro, and had a great conversation with him. He's the great grandnephew of Gorgeous George, who, of course, is the famous wrestler who basically made professional wrestling into what we know it as today with all the, you know, bigger-than-life caricatures, if you will. Speaking of caricatures, we'll be talking about the dust-up in Garland that our friend Pamela Geller was right in the middle of. If you've been listening to the Mike Gallagher show the last couple of editions, you will have heard the story. But we'll comment on that as well. We're also going to comment on the candidates, three more in the Republican field declaring this week. Two have entered the race today. Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina, both high-quality individuals, very smart, great for the debate, and both full of potential.
And Huckabee's waiting around the corner.
He'll be tomorrow, and he's going to make his announcement. There have been whispers that he won't run. I guess Betts saw the odds are he will. Nonetheless, we'll find out tomorrow for sure, and we'll be talking about it tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about Alan Dershowitz's take on Marilyn Mosby's rush to charge those six officers in Baltimore. And we're going to talk about a whole lot more. Once again, if you want to be on the show like Tim, and I'm going to get his phone call here in a second, just give us a call at 407-774-8255. One quick note. We are on from 5 to 7 now. However, the station still broadcasts the Rays baseball games. So we will still be getting preempted, but only now we'll be getting preempted later. If you listen to Gary Kaltbaum's show, you'll know the routine. At 6:30, like tonight, we will lose the AM 660 airwaves signal. However, we will still be on AM660TheAnswer.com. So we will be doing the last half hour of the show on the streaming signal. So we'll actually have an hour and a half show for many days during the season, not every day. It will be that day every day this week, but there'll be a day or two next week that we'll have the full 2 hours on the airwaves. And there will be, as the season progresses along, I've been looking at the calendar, there will be more and more days that we will have the full two-hour show on AM 660 The Answer airwaves. But nonetheless, you can always catch us at AM660TheAnswer.com. And if you miss our show, if you missed our show last night, you can find it at the archive. And that, of course, is our website, at our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And a little treat for you, too. You know, Lucas Paris has been in here with what we've been calling the head cam. I think we're going to rename
the Periscope.
The Lucas Periscope on the, you know, via the head cam. And we're recording it that now so that you can watch it at your convenience. You can listen to us, and then you can go back and watch us later if you like. If you just heard that bag of chips being cracked open, that's our promotions director here, Joe Ferraro. He's come up to take some photographs of the occasion, as it were. Thank you for being here, Joe. And Joe has been here ever since we've been here. How long have you been at the radio station now, Joe?
It'll be 8 years in June.
8 years in June. And I know Nick's been here a long time, but I think Jeff's got you beat. He's been here 10 years, hasn't he? Jeff Sinis, who does our Sunday night show.
Yep.
And but anyway, we're on YouTube now. Our video that Lucas recorded last night, the whole show, he's put it up on, or he's in the process of putting it up on YouTube on our channel, American Adversaries TV on YouTube. Okay, so go to YouTube, American Adversaries
TV.
Our own
network.
That's right. And we're going to start recording those shows and putting them, archiving them there so that you can watch them and whoever else stumbles across them can watch them too. So let's go now to Tim, who's been holding. He called right as we went on the air, and as rude as I've been keeping him holding. Tim, thank you so much for being there and being so patient.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all your hard work. You're in your first two-hour show, and I'm your first caller and your first member of the Army.
Yep.
So I just like being first. That's why I waited. I was going to call last night, and I said, no, I'll hold off and be first today.
I'm going to cry.
And you know what?
Really, this is an event.
You know what? You do go the extra mile for us, because I know you did when you enlisted as a recruit, because we were basically putting the site up and taking it down and making changes, and you know, so it wouldn't crash like the Obamacare, and you got in, and so you were persistent. So I tell you what, it's going to pay off for you. You like going to Cafe Positano, so we're going to give you a $20 gift card.
No, because I already have one in my pocket.
Well, all right, but I'll get you another My Liberty Threads T-shirt then. All right, because you can always use an extra T-shirt with a different slogan on it, right?
Yeah. Sure.
And by the way, we're going to have Scott make us up some My Liberty Threads T-shirts with our logo on it.
There you go.
And the next time we do a remote broadcast at Cafe Positano, and we're putting together the date now, it's going to be probably sometime in June, between Memorial Day and 4th of July. If you are a member of the American Adversaries Army and you show up that night, you will get one of these brand new T-shirts.
There you go.
And they're going to be the hottest ticket in town, I guarantee you.
You bet.
Let's get Tim on our cruise.
Well, he's working on it. What, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah, he and his wife are working on that. What's, I'm sorry,
yeah.
Tim.
So listen, back after Obama was elected, I made a comment, and you guys totally disagree with me, but I'm going to make it again.
All right.
He wants martial law everywhere possible so he can remain in office.
Well, I don't think I disagreed with his desire. I think what I disagree with is the
any chance in hell.
Well, I think there's always a chance in hell. I mean, because we are dealing with the forces of hell, if you will. However, I just think that let me put it this way, Tim. I have more faith in our system. The adversarial form of government was designed for people like Barack Obama.
And watch how he breaks that constantly now.
Well, he's testing it. There's no question about it. He's absolutely pushing the limits. But this is where the system will pay off. This is where I think that all of our faith in it will pay off. Because not only does he have to desire that, but all the other right powers that be have to desire that too. And I don't think they do. Not with this guy. And then you got the rivalries within his party. The adversarial form of government is made for a guy like Barack Obama and to thwart him. We shall see.
We shall.
But one thing we know for sure, and that is that you are a loyal listener, and we appreciate
you
so very much for that, Tim.
But you guys earned it. You put on a great show and a lot of information, and you keep digging, and you keep finding new things. I hear more sometimes on your shows than I do on the national shows. So, God bless you, and keep going strong, and let's go to 3 hours next.
You're singing my tune all the way, buddy. And thank you. We do. We try to get you guys stuff that you won't hear anywhere else, either facts and or analyses. And I bet you're going to hear something you haven't heard anywhere else in this next segment with Abe Katzman. Thank you, Tim. And call anytime, my friend. We'll be right back, folks. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Wow! We are back. We are live. We are on AM 660.
The silent intro.
The answer. That's right. 407-774-8255 is the number. And let's go now to our man in Jerusalem who is calling us live from there, Abe Katzman. Thanks for being with us again, Abe. We appreciate you.
Great. Great being with you.
First of all, how are things over in Jerusalem tonight? Is it a nice night over there, full moon and everything?
Oh, yeah, very nice. We've got a nice, May is a very nice month here. Not too hot, not too cold. Sun is out. Well, it's
sounds
not out
like
right
here
because it's midnight.
Yeah, but I get the picture. We're actually experiencing some spring-like weather here right now. It's really pleasant. I caught a report this morning on one of the news networks here that there is evidently Ethiopian Jews or Ethiopian Israelis are protesting, quote-unquote, police brutality in Tel Aviv. Are you guys having your own Baltimore-type thing going on over there?
Well, I think that Israel is trying to figure out exactly what it has on its hands here. The protests have taken everybody by surprise. They were set off by there was a video of a couple of police officers kind of physically abusing an Ethiopian Israeli soldier. And that did not go over well, and that seemed to set off what was at first a very peaceful protest in Jerusalem, which ended up getting a little bit violent. But then in Tel Aviv, they had a much larger protest, And it got very violent. There were all sorts of there were rocks and bottles thrown at the police. Most of the people injured were the were police. Very few civilians were hurt. And it's kind of a mystery. It seems that the there may have been a number of leftist agitators in the crowd, and they may have been the ones that were promoting the violence. The rallies had been peaceful for the for their first hour or two, and only degenerated later on.
Yeah, my second question was going to be, do you think that there were outside elements at work here? Because what you just described sounded really an awful lot like Baltimore the other night with the students throwing the rocks at the police. I think you had 12 police officers injured, and you had these outside elements at play.
Chris, I think you're right. There is an outside element here. It's America. I think Israel sees what's happening here, and Abe, how much of that is the spark there?
Well, he's coming at it from,
I guess
we're talking about different degrees here. Lair's talking about they're seeing it on the television and being inspired by that. I'm talking about physically people over there purposely trying to stir up trouble the way they're doing here. Abe?
Yeah, I think both are I think you're both right. I think what it is that it's the outside people that have seen what it is, what's been going on in Baltimore, and I think they look at it as a model. Again, it's hard to say how many of these people are actually Ethiopians. It seemed from the reports that there were a lot of non-Ethiopians in the crowd once it turned violent. So, I think that there might be a certain amount of Baltimore inspiration here.
Yeah, I think inspiration and even coordination, if you will, Abe. I'm talking about on a level where people are coordinating these activities with one another. And which leads me to my next conclusion is that I think both Israel and the United States are probably going to see a lot more of this as the summer progresses. I hope I'm wrong. Are you beginning to get that feeling at all?
I think that Israel is worried about what is going to happen here because there's a lot of frustration in the Ethiopian community. I think that they're, on the whole, they've just had a lot of trouble adjusting from, you know, these are people who came from sub-Saharan Africa and they're thrown into an advanced Western country. It's fast-paced. It's they don't have some of the cultural capital that a lot of the other Israelis have. They're very different, and as a result, they're having difficulty adjusting. And there may actually be an element of racism that I think people would prefer not to think about, but there probably is something there, and that adds to the frustration. So. Nobody is sure at this point. This has now been just a couple of nights. Nobody knows if this is the kind of thing that could continue all summer, or whether it's just that's it. A couple of protests, they made their point, and then everybody goes home.
All right. One more question about who may be involved in this. Any chance that Iran-backed groups like Hamas or Hezbollah has anything to do with this?
I think that that is a stretch, but I just don't think that there's that much infiltration by Iran or Hamas or any of these other groups into Israeli society. Then again, it doesn't take too much.
Yeah, I was going to say, in today's world, really, just a little hint of it, you know, sparks anything.
Yeah.
If it were Israeli Arabs that were responsible for the escalation and the violence, then I might think that there's you might be able to make that case. But here it seems to be just your typical anarchists and other social justice protesters.
Right, right.
They seem to be the ones that are doing it. And that doesn't seem to be the sort of thing that Iran would be fomenting.
Yeah, your average, everyday, ordinary community organizer slash agitator.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they make plenty of trouble on their own, and believe you me. Well, let's hope that both your country and ours can, you know, get this healed up and people start making sense out of things. It sounds like over there that you're sort of just in the beginning stages of this. But over here, it seems to be escalating each time. It seems to be getting a little bit worse. So I certainly hope that things will turn the corner, but I have a feeling they won't for a while yet, not with this president anyway. We just have a minute left in this segment, and then I want to talk to you in the next segment about John Kerry speaking to Israeli people on your TV yesterday or this weekend. But real quickly, what's the status of the new government? Is it close to being formed?
Well, last week I confidently predicted that it would be formed by the end of the week, and I was wrong.
They're still at it, huh?
Doggone you, Abe.
They're still at it, huh? Okay. Do you think they're any closer, or is it just day to day?
They are. The logjam may be breaking. One of the smaller parties has decided to join the opposition, which frees up a couple of positions for that the other parties seem to want to fill.
Okay.
So Netanyahu is probably going to be left with a fairly narrow coalition, like 62 seats.
All right. Well,
that's not a healthy thing.
We'll talk about that after the break with Abe Katzman. Please don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Hopefully you'll be sticking with us for 2 hours tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. We have our man Abe Katzman on the line, who's coming to us live from Jerusalem. And we've been talking about there were some protests in Tel Aviv. We've been now talking about the status of the new government over there. Abe, you say it may be close to forming with the prime minister having 62 seats in the Knesset. Is that what you said?
Right. That's 62 out of 120. So that's a very narrow coalition.
I mean, that's just barely a majority. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No, the problem with that is that when you have that narrow a coalition, smaller parties end up with disproportionate power, since they can always threaten to bring down the government. And as a result, there's a good deal of gamesmanship that goes on. It's very hard to maintain discipline. Every small party is always trying to leverage that possibility that they would leave into more and more goodies for their constituents. So it's generally better to have a more broad-based coalition, but if this is what there is, this is what there is.
First of all, you actually sort of were very cautious about the prime minister even calling new elections. I guess cautious is the right word. You know, you were a little bit worried that basically this is what would end up happening. Isn't this what one of your concerns was when this whole process first started?
Yeah, that was one prediction I got right.
Yeah, so, you did. I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. What kind of happened? It seemed like the prime minister was in a better position than this to form a new government.
Well, what's happened is that even though he and his party did very well, the party he can't form a coalition alone, and he needs a lot of these smaller parties. There are a lot of parties that are jockeying for position for too few spoils, I guess. There just aren't enough ministries and aren't enough minister positions available to satisfy everyone. So some of the parties have decided, one party in particular has decided to join the opposition and to not join this coalition.
I see.
And that brings the count down to 62 and, like I said, gives leverage to all the other parties now.
Okay. Let's move on to the Iran situation. Before I get to John Kerry's what I'm calling lecture to the Israeli people, where he cautioned you about being so hysterical, I believe was the word he used. First of all, Iran seems to be upping the ante, if you will, in the Persian Gulf and the waters around there, seizing vessels and the like. Is that very troubling? Obviously, I assume it is to Israel. And what do they see as Iranian intentions here?
They see Iran as trying to dominate the entire region. I think that with the particularly with taking over this ship, I think they perceive it as Iran testing America.
Exactly.
Pushing and pushing and pushing the boundaries to see if and when America will ever respond. And they make wilder demands about lifting sanctions. They step up their activity in Yemen. They still are doing they're doing plenty with Hezbollah and with Hamas. So they've got a number of different fronts that they're operating with, and they are, you know, John Kerry can talk all he wants about hysteria, but there's reason for the hysteria.
Well, of course,
Iran is going all in to take over the region, and from Israel's standpoint, they look like they would like to. I mean, they say they would like to destroy Israel.
Well, and what else do you expect, Abe, from the president that won the Nobel Peace Prize before he ever really got into office? I mean, this guy is such an anti-war president. I think the Iranians are showing the rest of the world that Obama will do nothing. And if he does anything, it'll be the slightest, most ineffectual thing that any president can do.
Having said that, they did send a carrier group evidently in there. Was that seen as any kind of appropriate response?
I think it's looked at as a partial response. It depends what they do, what happens next. But I don't think that there's not a tremendous amount of confidence in President Obama, unfortunately, among the Israeli people.
Yeah, I'm hoping that whoever is commanding that carrier group, if presented with the opportunity, makes the bold decision to do what is right. So we shall see. Let's talk about John Kerry. Evidently, he spoke on Israeli TV. What was it, Sunday night or something? Abe, tell us what happened, if you would.
He made a speech and he laid out. Tried explaining a little bit, defending this deal with, the nuclear deal with Iran. And he basically said that the Israeli people are suffering from hysteria in terms of their opposition to it, that the deal, there are all sorts of safety measures in place to make sure that Iran never goes nuclear, and that Israel shouldn't worry so much. Well, Israel's worried. They don't take John Kerry's small comfort from John Kerry.
I was going to say, how did that play, in the theaters, so to speak? Did it bomb?
Yeah, Kerry is not a popular figure here. If you remember last year, the defense minister basically said that he was messianic and that he should just get his Nobel Prize and go home.
Yes, I
that
remember.
Is the very much a feeling that's shared by the Israeli public.
And of course he's basically in charge of negotiating this deal. You mentioned the wilder and wilder demands by the Iranians. They're also saying there will be no, comprehensive inspection or monitoring process. The military,
you have to trust them.
Yeah, the military bases will be off limits. I mean, and Congress, is really not in a position of stopping this deal should Obama sign it and go to the UN with it. Is there any chance that the Iranians are just going to basically demand themselves out of a deal?
I think there's some possibility of that. But remember that as all these negotiations go on, the centrifuges still keep on spinning.
Yep.
We never forget that they're buying time with this entire process.
Right.
Of course.
So who knows exactly what it is they have in mind, but so far they seem to be playing President Obama very well.
Okay. We have a caller who has a question for you, and I want to, before we let you go, ask you if you found those Israelis who were in Nepal at the time of the earthquake. But let's go to the caller first. Reagan, thank you for calling, and your question for Abe Katzman, please.
Yes, I always love this section every week. I look forward to it so much.
Let me make a confession. So do I. So does Lair. We really enjoy talking with Abe. Have, ever since we first met him at the Republican National Convention in Tampa a couple years ago. Anyway, go ahead, Reagan.
Well, thank you. Abe, I'm curious to see, from your perspective, if Russia is beginning to try to reassert its play in the Arab world, and if so, what signs you've seen of that?
I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
What was the second part of your question again, Reagan?
Assert itself in the Arab world.
I'm sorry, can you go ahead and give the whole question again? We kind of had a little breakup there between us and Abe.
Oh, certainly. Have you seen any signs of Russia trying to reassert itself as far as influence in the Arab world?
Okay, Abe.
Yeah, there's a good deal of evidence of that, especially in Egypt. They I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of it in some of the other Gulf countries. But Egypt, after the Arab Spring and after Morsi was deposed, the U.S. government kind of gave the cold shoulder to the new Egyptian government, and as a result, Russia has gone back in, and they have more influence there now than they've had since 1973.
Yeah, nature will not tolerate a void. Reagan, you had a follow up to that though, or second part of it.
No, that was mostly just what signs you may have seen, tangible signs of Russia trying to exert itself more in the Arab world. And I figured Egypt was probably one of their best bets, given the fact that you said we've stepped out and created that void and had that historical relationship with Egypt.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, the interesting thing will be to see what happens with some of the other countries in the Gulf who are generally American allies, but who have been getting very nervous with
sure.
what that alliance has meant for them and meant for Iran.
Yeah. Hey, Reagan, thanks for calling. By the way, you hear us talking about Roxy Pacifics on the show. I know you've been around long enough to hear that. Have you gotten a bottle yet?
No, have not.
If you'll stay on the line and give Nick your information, we'll have Ed and Luann Roxy send you a free bottle. You'll love
the
stuff.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I found a new use for it this weekend. When you have a sinuses or something like that, just squirt it right up in your nose. It really works. It does. Thank you, Reagan. We appreciate you being out there. Abe, I want to kind of follow on that. The Gulf states, evidently, I saw a report today, are now making sort of, I don't know if demands or stern requests would be the right way to phrase it, to the United States that if you make a deal with Iran, we want more advanced weapons systems and we want more security agreements. So in a way, no matter whether this deal goes through or not, there's going to be an arms buildup in the Middle East as a result of all this, is there not?
Yes, there is, and that is also something that worries Israel, because even though at the moment, at least through the back channels, Israel is getting along very nicely with Saudi Arabia and a couple of the other countries, that can change. These are still countries that consider Israel an enemy officially, and if the area gets flooded with America's most advanced weapons, that really takes away at least the qualitative military edge that Israel has always been able to maintain with American help.
All right. You know, last week when we spoke, the earthquake in Nepal was still pretty fresh. I mean, there have been some actually avalanches, I guess, since then. Have the 50 or so Israelis been accounted for?
Yeah. 49 of them were returned safely, and one was found dead. An unfortunate story. Somebody who was just out of the army and was actually found. The search crew for him was actually his old army buddies that went in. But well, look, there are 7,000 dead overall.
Yeah.
So,
and rising.
Tragic all around and rising, sure.
Yeah. And devastating to that economy over there. I mean, much of that economy is built around the tourist industry, people coming there to climb Mount Everest or just see it. And they had that nasty avalanche last year, which wiped out a bunch of the Sherpa guides, and a lot of the other ones quit. And now even those who quit probably were hit by the earthquake. It's just been devastating over there. And, you know, one of the odd things is I heard the other day, it's now a little bit easier to climb Mount Everest because as a result of the earthquake, satellite. Have you heard this, Abe?
Yeah, it's a foot shorter, I think, than it was before.
Yeah, and Kathmandu is about 2 feet higher. So one step shorter to the top, I guess. But, well, thank God at least 49 came home, and our condolences to the family and the friends in the state of Israel for the one who did not, especially since he was a brave soldier just out of the Army. Abe, thank you so very much. We appreciate you. It's always a great education talking with you. And as you heard, Reagan, you got a lot of fans out there in our audience, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. I like doing these segments.
Well, then we're going to keep on doing them.
And, Abe, I want you to know something, that I have hiked every and climbed every mountain in Florida. When you come to Florida, I'll show all of them to you.
He'll show off. All right. Abe Katzman, God bless you and have a great week, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. And once again, folks, that's Abe Katzman. That's Katzman with an S. He's a great columnist, and he's got a lot of great stuff at his website, abekatzman.com. That's abekatzman.com. And you heard me mention Roxy Pacifics to Reagan there. I mean, this stuff is great stuff. We're finding out. This is kind of a funny one. You know, we've told people they can use it on their pets.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Kathy has a couple of cats, and one of them evidently, you know, when he goes to the potty, you know, doesn't quite clean himself so well.
Yeah,
and he was getting like a kitty cat rash, diaper rash, if you will. She started squirting that stuff on him. 2 days gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And now he's got the cleanest whistle in town.
Oh,
this
boy.
Stuff really does work. Roxy Pacifics, if you want to fix your skin, go to skinfix.us. Simple as that. Skinfix.us. They always have specials going on. They constantly get testimonials, which you can see there. From
all over the world.
And, you know, shingles is a big problem for a lot of folks around our age because of the measles or whatever it was, chicken pox. This stuff works great for that, too. At skinfix.us.
.us.
And you can order it to do it by telephone, too. Just give them a call at 619-654-4829. That's Roxy Pacifics, 619-654-4829. And we'll be right back. Where'd you find that one in there, Nick?
That's from the original Star Wars film. Happy Star Wars Day.
Oh, that's right.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. All right, great stuff.
To quote the Wookiee,
may the 4th be with you too, folks. Big day around here because we're now a two-hour show starting today. So I don't have to cram a lot of stuff into this last 6 minutes we have because we got a whole nother hour. And so hopefully you will stick around with us. And once again, I want to thank each and every one of you out there, Reagan, Tim, Diane, Chris, our most recent recruit. Appreciate each and every one of you. And we intend to be here a long time and do this as well as we can if each and every show. And if you'd like to help us out, if you'd like to be a member of the American Adversaries Army like Tim and come to our next remote broadcast, and amongst all the other things you get, you'll get a free American Adversaries My Liberty Threads t-shirt. Just go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and go to the recruiting office, and you can either do it right there with a card or you can do it through the mail with a check or money order. All the information you need is right there. If you'd like to be a sponsor of our show, we would love that too. You can do that. You can find out information on how to go about doing that at the website as well. Plus, we'll start running a commercial during the show, which will give our phone number out, so you can do that way as well. Once again, we do appreciate all of our sponsors, and don't forget, you can visit one of them tomorrow and get a tuned-up computer for free, because it's Tune-Up Tuesday at Refresh Computers. And their location where they do that is in Longwood. It's on 434, right between 1792 and Ronald Reagan Boulevard. Real easy to find. Refreshcomputers.net is their website. David Levitt will be in with us Wednesday, along with Colonel Danny McKnight. And we're going to have a nice two-hour chat with those fellas. But if you'd like to give them a call over there about their Tune-Up Tuesday or the systems that they have, and they got great stuff that they'll custom build for you, coming out and put it together for you, 407-478-8200. Is their number, 407-478-8200. This past Friday, we had Ed Reardon on in the studio. I mean, we had a full house Friday. We had this place packed.
And, Dr. K. And
yeah, and Aubrey Kahn was here, and Dan Peterson. But Ed Reardon, of course, is with Honor Flight Central Florida, and they had their flight Saturday, left here Orlando International Airport real early in the morning, went up to Washington, D.C. without a hitch, had a great day up in Washington, D.C. But then as they were on their way back, they had to divert the flight to Charleston, North Carolina, because one of the veterans was having a medical issue. So they immediately diverted that flight, got the thing on the ground as quick as they could, got that veteran in. And by the way, they also have medical attendants on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
So they were in good hands. Joe Ferrero was a guardian, and he's in the studio with us here. Joe, just give a little sample of some of the people, the support staff that they have on one of those honor flights. Joe was privileged enough to go along as a guardian, what, about a year and a half ago, wasn't it?
It was about, yeah, it seems like 2 years now.
Yeah.
And you have a guardian, you have an individual with each and every veteran. They have at least two medical personnel on there. They bring a complete med kit, oxygen, everything possibly you could imagine, you know.
The defibrillators, the whole
defibrillators, everything.
Yeah.
And they've got the support not only on the plane, but waiting for you at the airport you're going to.
Yeah.
In the event somebody needs something.
And so they diverted to Charleston, where they had emergency personnel waiting, got the veteran, and I don't know if it was a man or a woman. You can go to their Facebook page, Honor Flight. I just found out about this as we were going on the air, they got the person to the hospital. Ed Reardon's wife, Nancy, who was also on the flight, stayed with the veteran at the hospital overnight and got the individual. This is just a great quality organization. They take what they do extremely serious. They're not just along for the ride. You know, they take what they're doing extremely serious. They see each and every one of these veterans as a treasure to the rest of us, if you will, for lack of a better word. And they cherish being able to provide this service for these people. So if you can help Honor Flight, go to Honor Flight Central Florida and help them out. Either be a volunteer, perhaps be a guardian on the next flight. There's two coming up in the fall. I think Ed said in September and October they'll have one each month. And of course, you can help them financially as well, because not 1 cent is charged to the veterans for this. So it's a great organization. And by the way, they'd have done the same thing if it had been a guardian who was in need of medical attention. So it's a great organization, and we're just so very proud to be a part of them. And we'll get Ed on in the near future to tell us how the whole day went. Honor Flight Central Florida is where you can help them out. Well, look at that. We're just about out of time in this hour, but for some reason...
Oh, I'm so sad,
yeah,
Chris. It's all over for today.
No, it ain't.
Not.
Because we're just getting started. Now, this feels right. This feels right because we're just really getting warmed up, and we don't have to go home because we're going to stick around another hour. I hope you'll stick around with us for that hour as well. Like I said, though, now, when the Rays play... during the season, sometimes we'll be preempted from the airwaves. But speaking of the airwaves, I didn't tell you the other good news about the airwaves around here. Now, maybe some of you already know. You might have heard. I think they've played some promos about it, but we haven't talked about it on the show. But we're now on more than just AM 660, The Answer. So to find out what I mean, stick around, and we'll get into that when we come back. We're also going to be talking about something Warren Buffett said about the minimum wage. He said, don't count on it being any good, folks. And we got a whole lot to talk about. That's what I said. We're just getting warmed up.
Warren Buffett in Margaritaville?
No.
He's wasted away, folks.
You may want a margarita.
Stick around.
What he said.
660, The Answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll.
You can keep up with us and hope you keep us on your dial. That's right. You got the American Adversaries and our brand new 2-hour drive time primetime show. That's right. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we're coming to you live from the AM 660 studios. And we're on AM 660, The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. 407-774-8255 is the number. We will be live right up to 7 o'clock. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. We got Joe Ferrero sitting in the studio with us today. He took some photographs of the occasion. We'll put up on our Facebook page, American Adversaries. And once again, we want to thank you folks for being with us. And we got a whole nother hour. I don't know what to do. Yeah, of course I do, folks. So we got a lot to talk about. And
At the bottom of the hour, things are going to change up a little bit.
Yeah, for people on AM 660, The Answer, listening to us on the airwaves, we're going to have to give it over to the Rays at 6:30. And that'll happen every day this week. It's not going to happen every day during the baseball season. As a matter of fact, as the season progresses, it'll happen less and less. But it will happen every day this week. At least one or two days next week, we'll have the full 2 hours on the airwaves. But you can, we'll still be here, and the show will be live right up to 7 o'clock. But you'll just have to catch it on AM660TheAnswer.com, which, by the way, you'll get a nice, clear signal there. And as I said, we are live at 407-774-8255. And just to sort of mark the occasion and get in some first calls on, and I see we already got one going now, and she's going to want to talk about something we were going to talk about, and that is the Republican field expanding today. She doesn't know it, but she's going to get, well, now she's going to know it, she's going to get a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. And the next two callers who call up tonight and talk to us, you're going to get a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. And we'll just see where it goes from there. So we're going to have a big night, and we're really excited about doing this 2-hour gig. And so we hope you'll sit back and enjoy it. And like Lair said, you can take us with the drive home, and then you can have us as you're eating dinner as well. And we'll try not to upset your stomachs too much anyway. All right. Today, it was early this morning, too. Carly Fiorina declared, I guess she got up and she just couldn't wait to do it. So she was early to bed, early to rise. She got up early this morning and declared that she is in the race for Republican nomination for president. She is a great quality candidate, and she's loaded with fire and facts. And that's two things I love in a person. And she packages it well and delivers it well, too. And Ben Carson, later in the day, he got in, too, in front of a live audience in Detroit, a couple thousand people, evidently. And he's got his own style. I'm glad he's in the race. I don't think he'll be one of the top finalists. But let's see what Eva has to say. She may have another opinion. Eva, thank you for being our first caller in our second hour of our 2-hour show.
Well, I had to do it because I was the first caller, one of the first in the beginning. So I had.
Yes,
to
you were.
You were number two. A fellow by the name of Bamboo Bob was our very first caller. Joe remembers him because he used to call the Tea Party Patriots. And he called for a couple of weeks, but you were the second caller. And by golly, you've been around ever since. I don't know what happened to Bamboo Bob, but...
I hang around. I'm like a bulldog. I grab on and hang on.
You are tenacious, and we love you for it.
Well, the thing of it is, I like Carly Fiorina, but I also like Dr. Ben Carson. And he's going to get my support. I like Filarino because she's competing against Hillary, but people like me, I don't click with her because she's beyond me.
Well, she's a very smart woman.
Yes, she is, but that's why she's beyond me.
Well,
I got what Dr. Ben said, common sense.
Hey.
Too many people have been educated through the universities, and they don't have common sense. And Miss Filarino Carly.
Carly, just call her Carly.
One. Carly, thank you.
Yeah.
She's a good example. But what I like about Ben Carson, he's as smart as she is in a different way, and he lowers it to the common denominator, to the common man. And everybody in my lifetime has forgot about the common man. And as informed as I try to be, I have learned some of the code words.
Yeah.
And the middle class means union.
Yeah.
Nobody ever talks about the poor.
Sure.
Nobody.
Well, I tell you what, Eva, make sure you give Nick your address. I know I have it somewhere, but I'd have to dig it out. So if you could just give it to him, it'd speed up the process.
I'm going to try to make it about the poor because Florida is a good example. These people go on Medicaid, and I let me say on the radio, I am so proud of the Speaker of the House. Because he did what they got to fight about it.
Yep.
And that's going to be a real, so we as Florida voters have an input.
Well, I tell you what, there's a story that I'm going to get to in this second hour, thank God for 2 hours now, which bolsters his argument why we shouldn't do that. You know, the health care exchanges that the states set up because they were given federal money are going broke. Because the federal money is running out. It would be the same situation here. Just one quick thing about Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina. Yeah, he has a little bit better, what I would call, bedside manner than she does. So he comes across a little bit easier. She needs to develop that. So you've hit on something
but
there.
But she is also an absolute financial genius.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's still all, at the end of the day, a big part of it does come down to likability and relatability. Thank you, Eva. Thank you for being there from the start. And we appreciate you so very, very much. And we'll now go to Rose. Thank you for calling. And you wanted to talk about Carly Fiorina.
Yeah, but first I want to congratulate you for your second hour.
Well, thank you very much.
That was quite an accomplishment.
Thank you.
And I'll tell the people I know that you guys are ones to listen to. two things here. One about Carla. I think she's a really great candidate. And I'll tell you why. Number one, people are geared up to vote for a woman. And number two, she doesn't have any kind of, like, political baggage.
Yep.
I think that one of the things that happens to a lot of the aspiring politicians that get elected as senators is that they get corrupted. They have to vote a certain way, vote the party line, vote, you know, block votes for certain people or certain projects.
Yeah.
And they forget who sent them to office.
Well, Rose, let me ask you this. Would you be happy if Carly was, like, on the ticket as the VP candidate?
Anywhere she can fit as an executive to the highest office in the land would be a move in the right direction.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I think I'd be pretty excited to see her as the VP candidate.
You have to be able to get along with those senators in order to chair the Senate. So I'm not sure she's a politician in that kind of way.
Well, I'll say this, though. She was the CEO of Hewlett-Packard, so she had to get along with a lot of bullheaded people there, too, I'm pretty sure.
But they're business people. They're not people that use other people's money. They have to be accountable. The people that we have elected that are in office now are not accountable to anybody but themselves.
Well, that's why I'd like a gal like her around.
Yeah, she knows how to balance a budget and not take any mess from anybody.
You got
but anyway,
that right.
The second thing is that I know you love the police and all, and you're always singing their praises and, you know, singing about how much, you know, they're being neglected and mistreated and all this. But I'll tell you one thing. Their system has dehumanized a certain segment of our population. Just because a person's been arrested a lot of times does not mean that that person is unredeemable. And when they arrest somebody, they should not treat them like they're convicted.
Yeah, I believe.
And that is one of the things that I think they've lost. They've lost their humanity.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you listen to the show last night, I believe the police, if you want to say, use the words dehumanized, I think they have been dehumanized as much as anybody else.
Right.
And it's because I believe they've been put in an impossible situation.
I'm a trained ex-military person.
Okay.
And we have a mission. And our mission first is to represent the United States.
Okay.
The United States is made up of all kinds of people. And we get our command through the chain of command. We get our orders through the chain of command. And if the top of the police department is corrupt and they tell their people to bring in as many people that they can arrest as possible so they can get promoted, what do you think these people are going to emphasize? They're not going to emphasize your humanity. They're going to emphasize arrest.
Well, the difference
and that's where the problem is.
Yeah, the difference in military, though, and police, though, is with the police, they have to uphold the law. They have to enforce the law. They don't have a choice in which laws.
No, they don't. Right. It's been a couple of days in the Paramore area as a visitor, and you see, they'll stop you. They don't respect your rights. They stop you and they expect you to show your ID. Traffic offense. They'll go all through your car.
Right.
They'll look through your trunk and
right.
They're not policing people the same. So
I know they're not, and this is why I'm saying they've been given an impossible task. They've been
what
given the task of making us into non-sinners. In other words, they are policing. They're not policing.
Where'd you get that message?
I thought of it on my own.
I have laugh on that one.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, with prohibitionary laws, it's impossible for them to enforce those laws without going into our homes, without looking in our trunks, without looking in our pockets. It is those prohibitionary laws that are the real problem. I'm sorry, but it is. And when it comes to, we don't want people to be addicted to drugs. We don't want people to have drugs. We want more the government to do the moral thing. Well, the government's incapable of doing the moral thing, first of all. And second of all, the church and the family and the medical institutions and the educational institutions are far better equipped to deal with drug addiction than the police force. I'm sorry. I've seen it up close. I know what I'm talking about. And furthermore, the violence in our inner cities, the murders, the black-on-black crime, 90%+ of it is a result of the illegal drug trade. And guess where all the money?
Well, if you can't get a job.
Let me finish, Rose. Rose, let me finish. The best-paying jobs in the hood are selling the drugs. And for many black youths, it is seen as their only way out, so to speak, because there's actually real money there. And that's the problem. And then the real money that goes to the drug cartels and goes to the terrorist groups. It's just a bad proposition all the way around. We talked about.
So what's your solution?
What? I'm sorry?
What's your solution?
To do away with prohibition. That's where I would start, and then I would begin to reduce other areas of the government. We talked about this on the show last night. We keep doing these solutions over and over again and intensifying them, and they never work. We just keep pouring more in, and it never works. It only makes the situation worse. I likened it to an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, where because they kept adding more power to their shields, presumably to protect their ship, they were actually causing a situation which was going to crush their ship. And the only solution was to do the thing that seemed to be against their instincts, to drop that which they thought was protecting them. We start by eliminating drug prohibition and treating that as though it is a medical behavioral problem, not a criminal problem. You do that, you almost overnight, you just go back and look at what happened after they eliminated the 18th Amendment and when it was repealed. The crime rate in Chicago, New York, Boston, all the major cities dropped dramatically overnight because so much money and violence was tied up in the illegal booze. And it's the same situation today, only magnified. And so, and then our police are told to go out and enforce this.
They're not just enforcing drug laws. They're trying to get points for arresting anybody.
But it all goes back.
I beg to differ with you.
Well, it's been
a couple of weeks over in Washington Shores, Paramore, Pine Hills. And you'll see that there's a whole different attitude of police towards the citizenry.
I'm telling you that the police...
And they're locking up American citizens.
I'm not necessarily arguing with you. What I'm saying is when we declared a war on drugs, we in essence declared a war on ourselves.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so we're in agreement. Rose, I got to go. Thank you for calling.
Right. I like anybody that's like Scott. Our governor is a breath of fresh air.
Oh, God bless you, and so are you. Stay on the line so we can get you that $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. All right, thank you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some more phone calls and a lot more talking to do, so please don't go away. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries in its second hour of its first two-hour show. And we so very much appreciate all your love calls like Rose and Eva's and basically all you callers. You're all great. Reagan, earlier with Abe Katzman, excellent phone call. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. Let's go back to those phone lines now. Al, thank you for calling. You wanted to talk about General Ben Carson.
Yes, sir. But first of all, I'd like to applaud for your views on the solution, libertarian solution to ending the war on drugs.
Absolutely. I've been saying that for over 4 years on this show now. I'm adamant about it. I've seen this thing up close. I've seen what it does to people, and I've seen what it's doing to our society. And it's going to take a bold, courageous step, but we will all be thankful when it is taken. I guarantee you. Anyway, go ahead, Al.
All right, I got a question. I hear a lot of Republicans saying that the black man screwed it up for Ben Carson. What do you think about that?
That who screwed it up for Ben Carson?
That the black man, supposedly Obama in the office right now, screwed it up for Ben Carson.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that one
no,
minute.
They're too
That's
different.
What I hear from Republicans.
I don't know which Republican you're talking about, but if I hear him say it, I might slap him in the face because it's absolutely incorrect. I don't think this is part of what disappointed me so much about the president is that we don't like his policies. When we criticize the man, we're not criticizing him because of the color of his skin. We're criticizing him because we think he's a liberal or some of our listeners think he's a Muslim. It's never because of the color of his skin. And you know, if I didn't disagree with President Obama, I could find him a likable guy. But I just so disagree with him on his ideology and his political views, and I don't think that he has spoiled it for anybody other than maybe another liberal like himself. That would be my argument, and I better not hear any Republicans around here saying that because it's just not true, Al.
Oh my God, there's so many out here you just don't know, Chris.
Well, you tell them to tune in to this show, and I'll get their minds right, okay, Al?
All right, you got it.
All right, if you want to give us your address, I'd love to send you a gift card to Cafe Positano.
No, that's okay.
All right, well, God bless you, and thank you for your compliments, and thank you for your congratulatory message. And I'm glad we agree every so often because it shows me that we're all really kind of, in a way, trying to go to the same place. All right, let's go to Warren now. Warren, thank you for being out there for so long. We appreciate you.
Yeah, congratulations, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, I wanted to get in when Abe was on the air because this last week I came on something rather disturbing about a physicist named Omid Kokabee.
Kokabee, how do you spell that?
Kokabee.
And he's an Iranian?
He was, shall we say, detained in Iran.
Detained.
He's an expert on carbon dioxide lasers.
Explain. I'm not too familiar with a carbon dioxide laser. What laser?
Laser.
That's what I meant. What makes a carbon dioxide laser so significant?
Well, there's all sorts. They use all sorts of different.
Sure.
Things for making lasers, you know, that's an excitation of atoms and direct, you know, like a directed beam.
Right.
Well, this particular one is they're able to used for enriching uranium. That's their plan, anyway.
I see.
Which will make the centrifuge completely obsolete.
Obsolete.
Well, so, not if this is uranium that Hillary got for him,
yeah.
Right?
What's his first name again?
Oh, his first name is Omid, O-M-I-D.
Omid Kokabe.
Kokabe, yeah.
I tell you what. All right, well, we'll look into that, Warren. Thank you for bringing that up. And if I don't remember to bring it up with Abe next week, please do call in so we can talk to him about this.
Okay, I'll try to do that.
That's very significant.
I just can't make it to the phone at the right moment.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, if Abe wasn't, you know, coming to us live from Jerusalem, we'd actually move him back a little bit in the show, as I said earlier, so he wouldn't have to wait through that long break at the bottom of the hour. But, you know, he's calling us, and it's midnight over there, so we try to get him on early in the show. Just do try to get through, and I'll try to remember this. I'm making a note of it, so I'll try to bring it up to Abe and do a little research on my own between now and then.
I can send a blanket email to you guys with the, please, the website.
Please do.
I will.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Warren. All right, folks, we're winding up our first half hour of our second hour of our first two-hour show.
Boy, that's confusing.
Joe says, where do you get this stuff? I said, I don't know. It just comes out, you know. But once again, I want to thank you folks for being with us. Now, as we go into this break, you'll notice that the Rays pregame show will take off. And if you want to listen to the Rays pregame show, tune in again tomorrow. We got a lot more to talk about. We'll be talking about tomorrow. We got some great guests we're working on getting on the show. Danny McKnight's going to be on Wednesday along with David Levitt of Refresh Computers. Don't forget tomorrow's free tune-up Tuesday at Refresh Computers on 434 between 1792 and Ronald Reagan Boulevard. But we will still be here. We'll be live until 7 o'clock on AM660TheAnswer.com. We will still be taking phone calls. And I tell you what, the first person to call after the break, because you're listening on the website, AM660TheAnswer.com, you'll get a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, too. So it's a big night at the American Adversaries two-hour show. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about Warren Buffett and what he said on the minimum wage. We're going to be talking about the exchange is going broke and a whole lot of other stuff. And if you got a call, you want to talk about something, let us have it. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams. We're so privileged to be here with you now. 2 hours, Monday through Friday, as well as still 3 hours on Sunday. Plus, you got Carl Jackson on. I mean, this is just great. Where do you get this kind of radio? Nowhere else.
It just doesn't stop.
And don't forget John Butler Book on 950, 8 o'clock every Sunday night. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
AM660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. We're having a lot of fun on our first day of our two-hour show. Hope everyone is just like this. Well, as I said, we're still live at 407-778-255. If you want to be a part of the show, thank you for listening. If you're listening to us now, you're listening to us on AM660TheAnswer.com, and we do so very much appreciate that. We will be here with you until 7 o'clock, and once again, can't thank you folks enough, and the great folks here at Salem Media Group Orlando for making all of this possible. We really appreciate it. Before I get into some other business I wanted to talk about, we got another caller on the line, and she wants to talk about another caller we had on the line earlier. So, Diane, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Oh, congratulations, you guys. You guys are awesome. I'm so glad you have an extra hour.
Well, thanks, and you're a part of it. I mean, you are helping us do this because you are a recruit in the American Adversaries Army. If it weren't for you and the other recruits that we've gotten and, of course, our sponsors, but I tell you what, let me just tell you this. If it were not for the American Adversaries Army and people enlisting in that, I don't think I would have considered this because you folks are really going to be the backbone of what we do around here. I'm not taking anything away from our sponsors, and they are great, and we need them. We need them, but you're why we're here. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so when you put up some money to be a part of all that, it really gives us a confidence boost that we're doing the right thing and that we need to keep doing it. And so I owe you a debt of gratitude, young lady.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, thank you and your comment.
Well, I love Rose, but we all know that you shouldn't go down to Paramore unless you have to.
Yeah, well.
I mean, there's just places we all know that we shouldn't go, well, and the cops know it. And yeah. My son is in Colorado, and it's scary. He knows where he might get killed.
Yeah.
And that's all they're doing. I mean, they want to go home like the rest of us. If yeah. you're in a war, I mean, you know, it's a limited time that you're there. These guys are out there every day.
Yeah.
And they don't know that they're going to come home.
No. It, just like it, that police officer who was shot in New York.
That's exactly right. How sad is that?
Yeah.
Young
they
man.
Don't know.
Very
and
young man.
I don't know. I'm scared to death for him.
Yeah, well, he's dead. He died. He's 26 years old, I believe he was.
25.
25. Shot in the jaw. The bullet passed through his brain. It was amazing he survived it for any length of time at all. It just goes to show you how, you know, great our medical care is these days in the United States. But the man is now deceased. And, yep. and this is
But
what,
every time yeah. Brent gets out of the car and he goes somewhere, he doesn't know that he's going to go home.
No, and it can seem like the most benign situation that he's walking into, you know, that can go totally sour and wrong.
Exactly right. And he said the domestic ones are the scariest.
That's right. I learned that back in college from the John Cassidy was his name. He's passed away since then, but he was the counselor. He was the psychologist at the Orange County Jail. And he said, by far, the domestic violence situations are the most, that's what really drives the adrenaline up in cops, because you never know what's going to happen. You can go in and one or both parties like you, and by the time it's over, they both hate your guts and they're trying to kill you. I mean, it's just a totally volatile situation, and you never know which way it's going to go. And that, you know, and I'm not trying to say that a soldier's job is any easier, because obviously it has its tasks and burdens as well.
Absolutely.
But at least you kind of know who your enemy is, more or less.
And exactly. And,
with the
and
police,
you don't know
don't.
Who your enemy is here.
Exactly. Well, Diane, the dangerous part to me is I can foresee a trend in this country where police officers stop enforcing certain laws.
I mean, would.
Well, you're right. You're right, and turning their heads when they see something going on in certain areas where, like, hey, I'll get in trouble if I try to help out. Sorry, folks, you're on your own.
That's exactly what I said when this stuff happened in Baltimore. I said, I had no way. I would walk away.
Yeah, well, police officers are, you know, they are very duty-driven. And so, you know, one thing that is part of the problem, I think, is I believe, and once again, I try to put myself in the officer's predicament, the way I like to look at it. And it used to be they had, I believe, a little bit more discretion in terms of who they would arrest and who they would say turn a blind eye to and let them go. I'll make a confession. When we were about 16 years old, we were riding around in downtown Orlando one night, and my buddy was in the right-hand lane, and he made a left-hand turn, and the cops pulled us over. Well, we had a doobie in the car, and the cop found the doobie, and he could have locked us all up. But he said, I'm going to let you guys go this one time. I want to see you tear that thing up and stomp it into the ground. He said, I better not ever catch you out here again. And we learned our lesson.
Yeah.
You know, but that doesn't happen anymore. They see the doobie. They throw your face to the ground. They step on your neck, and they lock you in the car. I mean, it's a whole different world that we're in. And
because of the laws that the lawmakers make. It's not the cop's fault.
That's what I'm saying. That's been my argument from the very beginning. And that's where we need to go for the solution. We can't continue to do the same things when they don't work and think if we just do them a little harder that they will work. It just doesn't work that way. And we've lost all common sense in this battle. And as I said last night, the more we empower the government, I don't care where you do it, the more you empower the government, the more power you take care of some other institution. Whether it be the family, whether it be the church, whether it be the educational institutions or the healthcare institutions, when the federal government gets bigger, they all get smaller. And those are the ones that are more capable of dealing with the problems of humanity. That was the brilliance of our government in the beginning. It was designed that people were better suited to help other people would be the ones that help them, not Big Brother government. And we just, in the progressive era, we just totally lost sight of that. and hopefully we can turn it around. You're right, and I agree with you. It's a terrifying job to be a cop. It's got to be, especially in this day and age, and especially now with all of this stuff going on. And believe you me, the liberals and the progressives are out there ready to pounce. And I do believe that there is some sort of coordination going on between what's happening in this country and what happened in Tel Aviv over the last few days.
Yeah.
I do believe it. And it's just a portent of worse things to come.
We just have to be patient with these people, the cops. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't agree with. I think DUI stops are illegal.
But
they're doing their job.
They're doing their job, and that's why we got to look to the legislatures and say, y'all ain't doing your jobs. You think that you just pass a new law, and you go and slap yourselves on the back and you've done something. When in most cases, I've been saying this since day one on this show, there are a number of what I call perverse rules of politics. And one of the perverse rules of politics is practically every law that is passed makes the problem it was designed to solve worse.
Absolutely.
So we just...
We're probably sitting here breaking all kinds of laws we don't even know about.
Well, if we're found out, we'll still be here at 7 o'clock when they come to get us, because we got a two-hour show thanks to you and other folks like you, Diane. God bless you, and thank you for being out there.
God bless you guys.
Okay, and we appreciate you being there. Just like Diane, folks, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255 if you want to be a part of the show. We got a real problem in this country. We really do. And, the author John Whitehead has just come out with a book. He was on Glenn Beck the other day talking about how we're basically at war right now with ourselves. And it never goes good. In wars, people get killed and things get tore up. And if you don't believe me, just look at Baltimore. And it's only going to get worse, especially when it's fed by so much ignorance, so much pure ignorance, and people jumping to conclusions. Alan Dershowitz, the famous liberal lawyer, has made some pretty strong comments about Marilyn Mosby and her rush to file these charges against these six police officers in Baltimore. I don't know what happened in the back of that van. I speculated on it last night on the show. But I don't know for sure, and I don't think at this point anybody knows for sure how that man got injured and died. But she was right out there to file those charges, and it was obvious what she was doing. She was placating the restless crowd, and that's a bad precedent to set. And to file these charges with no factual basis whatsoever, other than conjecture, is also a bad precedent to set. But it is something that I would expect an inexperienced person, basically first day on the job, more or less, to do. When they're too arrogant to ask for advice from people who are maybe a little bit older and wiser than you, which is what I believe this woman did. She had an axe to grind, and she ground it. And she's grinding it on those six cops, three African Americans, three whites, and one of the African American officers is a woman. It's not a racial thing. And the thinking that we're going to be able to throw more money at the problem or do a little bit of criminal justice reform or something like that, and that'll take care of it. No, that's not going to do squat. It's only going to make the situation worse. We need a radical change of direction. Like I was saying earlier on the show, like I talked about last night, this episode of Star Trek. Just think, we keep doing the same thing and the problem keeps getting worse. Maybe what we're doing has something to do with the problem. And if that's the case, then we got to radically change what we've been doing. And that's what we talk about around here. That's why we entertain these ideas, because obviously what we're doing is not working. And we can't blame it all on the liberals. A lot of conservatives have been part of the problem too. I mean, look at the debt Obama's run up. Yeah, well, look at the debt George W. Bush ran up. And look at the debt we're running up right now. And by the way, the $18 trillion in debt that we owe, that's peanuts to the unfunded liabilities that we have. In other words, the Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid obligations, which are 10 times our debt. Did you know that? $180 trillion that we ain't got. Now you want to know why they want to open the borders and have a bunch of immigrants come in here and work? So that they can pay for our Social Security, our Medicare, and our Medicaid, because they done spent all our damn money. Because they keep doing the same old stupid stuff. So this is why I look for radical change, and change that I believe will lead us back into the right direction. Our founding fathers did not believe in prohibition because they knew it would lead to exactly what we have. A police force that has to look in our trunks, has to look in our pockets, has to look in our homes in order to enforce the law. There is something wrong there. No, I don't want people to be addicted to drugs, but I don't see how we're making a whole lot of headway right now. We got a heroin epidemic in this city. 12-year-old kids doing heroin in this city. And guess what? It's illegal. Oh, yeah, but if you make it legal, 10-year-olds do it. No. If we make it legal, then we will have the other institutions that can better handle the addiction problem. And guess what? There won't be a profit motivation for these sorry bastards to be out there selling the crap to your kids. We got to do something different. We got to do it now. And we got to take a break, so please stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries 2-hour drive time, prime time show. Doggone it, I knew this would happen. I knew this would happen. We're in the last segment of a 2-hour show, and I still got 45 minutes of stuff to talk about here.
Talk fast, Chris.
I guess we're going to have to work. Like Tim said, I guess we're going to have to work on a whole nother hour. But this, too, is going to do for a while. But anyway, we'll still be here live until 7 o'clock. We'll be doing this every night, Monday through Friday, from now on. And don't forget, we'll still have our Sunday night show as well. So please do join us for that. 407-774-8255 is the number. If you're listening to us now, you're listening to us on AM660TheAnswer.com, and we do so very much appreciate that. Don't forget, tomorrow is Free Tune-Up Tuesday at Refresh Computers. Take that computer you're listening to right now, if you're listening on a computer or laptop, take it on over to Refresh Computers, and they'll freshen that. They'll tweak it up for you, freshen it up. All for free, and it's at on 434 between 1792 and Ronald Reagan Boulevard. And if you need a new system, check them out there. You will not get a better deal anywhere else in town. I guarantee you that. All right, if you don't believe me, just call him. Ask Nick LoCicero. He got a great new system about a year ago over there, Nick? Yeah. Yep.
Also, tomorrow night is prime rib night.
Yeah, at Cafe Positano.
Cafe Positano.
That's right.
Best prime rib in Central Florida.
Yeah, at the best
Italian
restaurant. Italian
restaurant.
In Central Florida. All right, the number at Refresh Computers, if you want to call them, 407-478-8200. They'll tweak that thing while you wait, 407-478-8200. And by the way, they take reservations at Cafe Positano. They got fine dining, they got a full bar, they got a casual dining area, they got takeout. If you want to give them a call to make a reservation or order a pizza and pick it up, you just give them a call at 407-774-8080. Okay. And we'll be there Wednesday, by the way, if you want to join us. Warren Buffett. You know, there's been all this big debate about the minimum wage. Got to raise the minimum wage. I think there's a bill Democrats are trying to move through Congress right now to raise the federal minimum wage.
I hear he makes more money than his secretary.
Oh, slightly.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that a big controversy a while back about?
He makes more money than God, so to speak. He was talking about his taxes. That's a whole other thing. But you would suppose that, given his position on tax policy, that he'd be a big fan of raising the minimum wage. He is not. Now, maybe that has something to do with him being an employer, you know, and having to pay people. But obviously the people who work for him, and he has a small staff for his actual Berkshire Hathaway Corporation, but of course they own a lot of companies. and these companies would be subject to having to pay the minimum wage. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. Maybe he came to his senses a little bit. Maybe the reality of having to pay it brought him to his senses. But he is saying that raising the minimum wage will not do any good in terms of the income.
The economy.
Exactly. It would not income redistribution or inequality in incomes or really just help the people who make the minimum wage. And essentially, it's because when you raise the minimum wage, everything else kind of goes up with it. So let's say you're paying a dollar for a hamburger now, and we raise the minimum wage 20%. It won't be long before you'll either be getting a 20% smaller hamburger or paying 20 cents more for it. And so the person who just got the raise of the minimum wage is right back where he started. This is the problem with raising the minimum wage. It doesn't do anything but make everything more expensive. And those people who are on fixed incomes, the elderly, they're the ones who get hurt the worst.
Well, plus there's the people that if you increase the minimum wage, employers are going to have to let certain people go to cover it for the other people. So now you have people that are now making zero money. How did that increase in minimum wage help them?
Or you have situations like what happened in Seattle when they raised the minimum wage to $15 an hour. You had a lot of restaurants close up and either move outside of the city limits or just pack it in and go home.
Because, to another state?
Yeah, because the people who forced them to raise that minimum wage were the same people who would refuse to pay more for their steak or hamburger or pizza. Right? Oh, yeah, and I'm not going to pay more for that. Yeah, but I have to pay my... Well, so what? I'll just go somewhere else. I can go outside the city limits and get me a pizza. And they don't raise their prices. You should have absorbed the cost, is their attitude. Well, my oh my. Obviously, you've never run a business, Mr. Liberal. And that's part of the problem. Which is why Carly Fiorina and Ben Carson are breaths of fresh air for the Republican Party. Because both are business people. Yes, Ben Carson's a brain surgeon, but he had to run a business, right? To be profitable at being a brain surgeon, right? He's a businessman. Doctors, dentists, they're business people. They have an understanding of business sense. And, of course, Carly Fiorina comes from the business world. She came up through the business ranks. So we got a lot of good talent on our side. I'm really encouraged by it. We'll see what Mike Huckabee does tomorrow. I would not be surprised if he decided not to run. I really would not. And in a way, I would kind of be, I don't know if relieved is the right word, but I think it would make it easier for some others.
It's a really crowded field.
It is. And he's kind of had his shot. And unless I don't know what he could do to really kind of jazz himself up, but he's kind of yesterday's news. And it's going to be hard for him to really make a place for himself in this field when you have guys like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz who are going after the same voters that he's going after. And they are fresh faces, and they are exciting. Not that he's not, but he's going to have to up his game. We'll see tomorrow, and perhaps he'll come out, and he'll be on fire, and I'll be singing a different tune tomorrow night. But we will find out, and you'll have 2 hours to to hear me
sing.
Well,
the man's a great speaker, but I just really wonder if he can raise the money.
And that's a big part of it. That's what I mean. You know, the donors are going to go for two things. They're going to go for winnability and, you know, excitability.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned donors, Chris, because now there are some stories coming out about Hillary Clinton's donors. They're kind of falling by the wayside because they don't want to be associated with this nonsense with their foundation. So now the slimy business dealings that they've done with that, the stink is coming back and haunting them, and now they're having a hard time getting people saying, yeah, I want to sign on with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because their names will be associated
right
if something pops up.
That's why I say our system is beautiful, folks. Have faith in the system. I know it's tough
it
sometimes.
It takes a while.
I know it's tough sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not going to be efficient. It's not going to be quick. But at the end of the day, I think that it will be effective at keeping us fairly free anyway, giving us another chance. We're going to have another chance in 16. I think we're going to turn it around. Anyway, we're going to be here to help drive it in that direction anyway. Speaking of driving it, we're about to drive on out of here. It seemed like 1 hour. Did it go by fast for you, Joe? It went by fast. Did it go by fast for you, Nick?
Way too fast.
Way too fast. Well, in a way, that's...
He's already out that door.
But in a way, that's what I like to hear. Had a lot of great phone calls today. We appreciate each and every one of them. We look forward to doing it again tomorrow. And don't forget, you can help us out. You can be a part of what we're doing. And we'll make it worth your while. Just go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, where we have all our shows archived. This show will be up there in a few minutes. And go to the recruiting office, and for $5 a month, you can be in the American Adversaries Army and be a part of what we're doing here. Be a part of this. Don't be sitting on the sidelines. Be in the game. I'm in such a debt of gratitude to Larry because he got me in the game. He came up with the idea of this show. And he got me off the sidelines. He got me into the game, and I'm loving every minute of it. So if you want to be in the game, too, join us. Be a part of the American Adversaries Army. All right, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. We're going to have another big show lined up for you tomorrow night. We're working on some great guests. By the way, Clinton Cash, we're working on trying to get Peter Schweitzer on the show, the guy who wrote that book.
Oh, yeah.
He did a great interview. It was a great interview today on the Michael Medved show. And if we can get him on, we look forward to having a good interview.
This guy's done his
well.
Research. You can't just say, oh, no, he's a Republican operative. This guy's done his research, and a lot of this is damning, and there's nothing they can say against it.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for tonight, folks. Stick around and listen to some more great programming on AM660TheAnswer.com. Night, everybody.
AM660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM660.